Happy Easter, Mount Ararat. It is good to see you this morning. Wow, what an amazing moment for worship. Can we tell our worship team how grateful we are and how they led us today? Wow. Wow. Hey, listen, last year at this time, we were only online. Yet this year, we were able to resurrect some services here at our Stafford campus, down at our Fredericksburg campus, and even this afternoon at our El Monte campus. Come on, did you like the pastor humor? Resurrected services. Come on, pastor jokes, bad jokes. I know, but you got to give me a little bit of obligatory laugh right there. But no, it is good to have you together with us today. You look good. Listen, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are here ready to go hard after the Lord. Man, it's Resurrection Sunday, church, and we ought to be singing our hearts out because this is a declaring moment for us as believers in Christ. Listen, I didn't realize what I did this weekend, but when I got out my clothes and I got dressed, I showed up, somebody goes, "Nice clothes, Miami Vice, come on." Listen, I grew up in the 80s and I subconsciously dressed like I'm still in the 80s. Listen, you can take the guy out of the 80s, but you can't take the 80s out of the guy, right? Come on, any 80s people out there, you grew up, that was your childhood. Yeah, all of us know what I'm talking about. Everybody's like, "What's Miami Vice? What's that about?" Right? Listen, it is good to be with you today. I know we're in kind of a distant moment. We're still not touching, but can you just look around your row and go, "Happy Easter to you, happy Easter to you," and just head nod to the people around you today, because we're not alone today. Listen, God's doing something in this service. Can I tell you, y'all are my favorite service so far this weekend. Can a parent have a favorite child? You just don't tell the other children, right? That's right. That's how that works. Matter of fact, next week I'm beginning a series called Kidding Me, and we're talking about parenting. So I hope if you're a guest, come on back next week. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about leading kids at whatever stage they're in, all the way up to adult children, because they never stop being kids, right? And in all of that, thank you for choosing to be with us this Easter here at the Mount. Even if you're watching somewhere out there online, thank you for choosing to allow us to be a part of your Easter experience. You know what? We believe you had a choice, and you could be a lot of places, but you're here with us. Speaking of choices, I want you to see this, because life is really all about choices that we make. We make choices every single day. Now, some of them are just quick, easy decisions. We don't have to think a whole lot. We just make them. But some we have to kind of weigh in on choices. It takes a little bit more weight, a little more prayer, a little more energy to make some of those choices. But choices is what our lives are filled with. Matter of fact, you might even later today go, "Hey, where are we going to go to lunch? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Where do you..." Sometimes those are the hard choices, right? Just decide what we're going to do, or choices about what I'm going to wear, choices about, you know, are we going to go on vacation in a few months, choices, we get choices. But what I want you to see is this, is our lives, whether they're small choices or big choices, our lives and our legacies are the sum total of all of our choices. Because see, we got decisions that we have to make. And so we've titled Easter this year, we've titled it Find God. Now, that might be an interesting kind of intrigue. Is God lost? No, God's not lost. But after the year we just experienced, can we all admit it is easy to lose sight of God, and it's easy to lose sight of our faith when we get pushed to the test like we have in this last year and some months together? Anybody with me today? I mean, come on, if it's not masks and social distancing, it's online school, it's online work, it's online church, and it's this idea of quarantine, it's idea of vaccines, it's this idea of losing a lot of things in our life. Come on, losing sight of God, losing sight of faith, losing sight of empathy, losing filters, losing our minds. Listen, it is easy to find ourselves lost. And so today, I am so grateful that we get a few minutes together to lean in on this Find God series. Now, if you're new to us, here's what we believe about the good news of Easter. When you find God, you find life. And when you find life, you find freedom. I believe that's what Easter declares to our lives today. And I want you to see this. Now, our journey in the last several weeks is we find God in disappointment. That was week one. And then we found God. We find God in generosity. Well, today, this Easter, we're going to find God in our choices. So if you're a note taker, which I hope you don't check out on note taking just because it's Easter, I'm not going to give you a devotion day. We're going to break open the Word of God today. And there's some things here that I think could be helpful beyond this day. And I hope that you'll maybe write a few things down. But I wonder if life is about choices, if any of you are looking back on this last year when you had a lot more free time and you scrolled a lot on the internet and you looked at a lot of things, if you have any regrets from this last year of your choices. I know maybe you got caught up in the moment and 0% down, right? And no money down. You can get it now, buy now. And you're like, why did we do that? Why did we buy that? Or maybe if you were to even look at your phone and go, man, what did I add this last year? Oh, that app. Oh, that contact. Oh, that person. Who have you maybe been reaching back to or talking to or texting with or double tapping or swiping right that you're like, man, regret. Shouldn't have done that. And how many of you may be looking at your life when you had more time to think and you're like, my life is miserable, and you started looking outside to others and going, man, that girl makes me feel like I used to feel. Or maybe at least he's rich, right? And all of a sudden we make these decisions like that, this is how we do business here, right? Or maybe you're looking at your life and going, how much weight did I really gain this last year? I thought it was only going to be a quarantine 15. Come on. It's like it's hit me harder because of maybe some undiscipline in my life. Listen, can I tell you, our choices get impacted by our emotions and our appetites. And if you look back in the last 12, 14, 16 months, I wonder how many of you have some regrets in regard to purchases, in regard to relationships, or maybe even in regards to your own habits. Let me declare something over you today. Your choices determine your story. Your choices determine your legacy. Now, maybe you're here on an Easter weekend because somebody you love invited you here, and you would simply be honest to say, I'm not a Christian, Pastor, and I'm so grateful that you're here. And that you made a choice to come with that invitation and that you're watching today. I believe today, what we're going to look at today could be a deciding moment for you too, if you'll listen and watch. We're going to take a little different angle this year. If you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Now, I know you're going to come on Easter and you're going to get the story of the cross, but I'm going to back up a little bit and I want us to look at a conversation with a guy named Pilate that is so close, and Jesus is inviting him, and he's so close to faith. He's, matter of fact, he's talking to faith face to face. And I want us to listen to the conversation that this guy Pilate has with Jesus, the Son of God. Now, to give you a little bit of history context, Pilate is a governor working underneath Caesar and working for the Empire of Rome. His assignment is the area of Judea, which is filled with Jewish people, and he's responsible to keep them at watch and at bay. And so that's kind of his assignment. Now, he gets this assignment in AD 26 to about AD 36. For about 10 years, he's serving as the governor. Now, he is the last stop, the last trial before Jesus goes to the cross. He's the decision maker of what's going to happen next. That's why I think that makes this conversation even more intriguing. Now, the Jewish leaders weren't happy with Jesus, so they arrest him. They try him. They beat him. They falsely accuse him, and then they turn him over to Rome so that he can be executed on their behalf. That's where we're going to pick up in the pages of John chapter 18, beginning right here in verse 29. Come on, can y'all handle this story today? Y'all with me? All right, here we go. So Pilate, he came out to them and he asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? Talking about Jesus. Listen, they said, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, come on. Take him yourselves. Judge him by your own law, referring to the Jewish law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. Now, this took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death that he was going to die. You see, only the Romans could execute people by killing them on a cross. And the Bible had already predicted this was what was going to happen to Jesus. And so this is the way it was playing out in the pages of the Bible. Verse 33, Pilate went back inside and he summoned Jesus and he asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus asked, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people, your chief priest, handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" And Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "So you are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born is that I came into the world to testify to the what?" What's the word there? The truth. That's key for Easter. I came to testify to the truth. And everyone on this side of the truth listens to me. Come on. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there, and he said to them, "Listen, I find no basis for the charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release one prisoner at the time of your Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And these Jewish leaders in that crowd that day shouted back. They said, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in this uprising. Matthew calls him a murderer. He pushed against Rome. He gets arrested and tried and put into jail and put on a death sentence. You see, Barabbas deserves the death from the actions that he has already committed. But yet, that's the one that the crowd chooses. They choose to set Barabbas free, and they choose to send Jesus to the cross. Now, what I want us to do is this. Today, I'm going to give you a pivot of two thoughts here on this idea of a choice. The first thought is this, is, hey, Pilate, your choice deserves the truth. Your choice deserves the truth. Are y'all with me? Your choice deserves the truth. And I want to share a little truth with Pilate in this moment. But before we do, we've often looked at the Bible and we've seen Pilate as like the enemy. He's like the enemy in the story. But I want you to maybe see Pilate in a different light today. Because just maybe today, after the year we just experienced, maybe Pilate is not so different from your life or my life as we like to think sometimes. If you want to get real honest, look at Pilate. He's under some pressure right now. Think about this one. He's got to answer to Rome. So who does he want to please? Who does he want to keep happy? Come on. He's got to keep Caesar happy. There's a pressure there that he's under. And at the same time, he's got this sea of people, this Jewish nation that he can't let create rebellion. He can't let insurrection happen. So he's got to be popular enough with them to give them just enough to keep them, what, at bay. Pressure. At the same time, in his own heart and life, he's like wrestling going, there's something about this that's not right. And he doesn't know what to do. And it's like this pressure, the pressure of his position, the pressure of his authority, the pressure of his power, the pressure of his pleasing, the pressure of his popularity. Come on, can we relate to him at all? Anybody living with some pressure right now in your life? Pressure to provide, pressure to perform, pressure to compete. Listen, this is pressure. Listen, can we see what Pilate is up against right here? I would ask the question, who's really on trial, Jesus or Pilate? Because there's something going on right here. Two times, Pilate's already tried to release Jesus. You see, he didn't believe Jesus did anything that deserved the death penalty. Yet he was gripped by fear. Doesn't that sound familiar? 2020, 2021, he was gripped by fear. And can we just admit, sometimes fear makes us behave in ways that we normally would not behave. Fear, fear, so much to lose. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27 that even his wife joins in on the story. She has this crazy dream. Listen to it. His wife sends a message. Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream about him. Pilate's in this position, but he's got to make a choice. But instead, what does he do? He tries to pass the responsibility to somebody else. Isn't that what happens sometimes? We don't want to have to make it. It's like, I just want somebody else to make this for me. And it's like, we hear in another place where he tries to give it back to Herod. He tries to give it away, but then Herod wouldn't take it. So now what does he do? He gives it to the crowd of people. And let's just all together, what is the crowd of people? Who do they choose to set free? Come on. Barabbas. I don't know about you, but when I hear the Easter story again and again and again, I'm going, they choose who to set free? Barabbas? But that's the story, isn't it? That's the tension, isn't it? They would rather set the guilty one free. They choose Barabbas. How did we go from 6 days earlier, come on, Sunday, waving palm branches, singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, God saves, and here we are 6 days later, and a new crowd has assembled, and they're screaming, crucify, crucify, crucify. Come on, it's hard to get the right answer from the crowd. But that's where we are as we look here at the pages of the story. Now, Pilate's still not convinced that he wants to kill Jesus. So he does another compromise. He says, how about we just beat Jesus and then we'll try to give him back to the people. So the Bible tells us that he flogged Jesus. Now, this is gruesome. This is horrible. A cat of nine tails stripped across his back and his arms and his flesh. And then while they're at it, he lets the soldiers come up and beat him, mock him, and they dress him up in a royal robe over those whipped back, and then they put a crown of thorns on him, and they say, hail, hail, King of the Jews. Pilate's thinking, maybe this will be enough, and the conscience of the crowd will see this, and they'll finally want to release this man since he's done nothing to deserve death. Matter of fact, John 19:4 said, once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered, look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis of charge against him. Come on, can we admit Pilate is so close to making the right choice here? So close. But this only ignited the crowd. This only angered the Jewish leaders. They got louder. Matter of fact, they say this. He said, you take him. You now crucify him. I find no basis of charge against him. Matthew even records that Pilate realized he was getting nowhere with that crowd. So instead of an uproar starting, he took water. Come on, y'all know the story. And he washed his hands in front of the crowd. And he says, I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility. Hey, Pilate, you have a choice. You have a choice and you can't pass it up to someone else. But passing your responsibility is a choice. It is a choice. So the Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law. According to that law, he must die. So what are they saying Jesus did? He claimed to be the Son of God. Listen, when Pilate heard this, he really got freaked out. He was more afraid. He went back in to Jesus in the palace, and he said, where did you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. He said, do you refuse to speak to me? And then I want you to hear what Pilate says next. He said, don't you realize I have the power to either set you free or crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Come on, the Jewish people, Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, he handed Jesus over. He's guilty of the greater sin here. I want you to see this, because from then on, Pilate is still trying to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Can you feel the pressure on top of Pilate? He's got to make a decision, and nobody's going to be united in whatever he decides to do. He's got to make a decision, but the pressure was so much that finally we see here in verse 16 that Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. And that's what brings us to Easter, right? Jesus, the innocent one, hanging on a criminal's cross. Jesus, the one dying for the sin and shame of humanity. Taken off that cross, buried in a tomb, to leave us into this Easter weekend together. Now, as I've preached this already a few times this weekend, man, this is hard. But listen, after the year we just had, you don't need me playing patty cake, do we? I would rather come in here and look at what the real authority, what the real power, what the real situation is. But I want to do something that is fictional a little bit. But I think if you'll go with me, give me a little bit of liberty, I think we can kind of see maybe something here. I want you to imagine with me, it's 3 days later after the crucifixion. And let's just say it's early on Sunday morning. We know it's the first Easter morning. They don't call it that yet, but we know it as Easter morning. But it's early that morning. Pilate is sitting with his wife, right? And they're having breakfast. Now, I can envision in the palace, they had this spread of food. She's at one end, he's at the other, like Beauty and the Beast, and they're having this moment of breakfast. Come on, I'm going to imagine that they both had a big old cup of coffee and they're drinking their coffee. Come on, let's just go there, right? They're eating breakfast. What are they eating? Probably Eggs Benedict. Pastor Joke 2.0 right there. Come on, come on. Maybe some deviled eggs served. I don't know. But listen, they're there in this moment. And let's just say right there in the middle of this moment, there is this knock at the door. Soldier shows up. Hey, boss. Sorry to interrupt. You know that Jesus that you crucified on Friday? You know that Jesus that died and they put him in the tomb and you put us on guard to make sure nobody messed with the body because there was rumor something was going to happen? That Jesus that was in the tomb now is empty. In that moment, I can just see Pilate's wife looking at him going, "I told you so." Come on, every wife in the room, you get that one, don't you? "I told you." And in that moment, I wonder what's going on in Pilate's mind right now in that moment. Can you imagine? It's like he's had this battle within that he knew something was wrong in this moment, and he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to make the right choice, but the pressure was too much, and he ends up doing what the crowd wanted him to do. Fear is an ugly thing that leads us to do things that we don't need to be doing. Hey, if you could get a few minutes that morning to sit down with Pilate and his wife, would you want that? I would ask you this, what would you say in that moment? What would be your words in that moment? Because I'm thinking this is a powerful moment that I think God's wanting to do something here. And listen, if I could have that moment, can I just take 10 more minutes with Pilate? Here's some things that I might share with him. Because I'd want to be relatable to him. I might come in and just say this, and Pilate, you got a hard life here, man. Man, you got pressure. Pilate, man, you got a boss that you're trying to answer to that's like, he's got impossible demands, pressure. And at the same time, your employees, oh, Pilate, man, you're never going to please all your employees, even though you're going to have to lead through all that. And then your own internal struggle with what you're facing here. Pilate, I can only imagine the dilemma that you find yourself in. And to top it all off, you've got a wife who you can't even live up to her dreams. Right? Pilate, you got a hard job. But dude, can I share something with you in the few minutes that I have with you? Can I just share just a few thoughts with you? Because here's what I do believe. That there's something I can give to you that maybe can help you see what you've been missing all along. Pilate, I want to tell you this. And I'm going to share something with three circles, but I want you to get this. I want you to know, Pilate, whether you realize it or not, you're important to God. And God's design, God has a design for your life. That's the first circle. God has a plan for your life. Do you know that you are wonderfully and fearfully made? I know you don't know the Bible, Pilate, but in Psalm 139, it says that God knit you in your mother's womb. You know what that means? God made you with purpose in mind. That's how valuable you are to God. You've been made in His image. I want you to get this, Pilate. Matter of fact, I want you to step out and just look, and you can see the creation all around. Listen, look up at the sunrise in the morning and the glowing of that beginning of a new day. And then at the end of the day, watch that pink hue as the sun goes down again. Listen, I want you to get a picture of how great, how grand God is. But you don't have to even look that far. Look at your own body and look how you have been wonderfully, fearfully made. Pilate, none of this is accidental. God has made you. God wants relationship with you. But I'll confess to you, Pilate, I've known this truth in my life, and I haven't always accepted it, and I haven't always appreciated that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Matter of fact, if I get real honest with you, Pilate, there's been times where I've pushed back from God. I don't want God's design over my life. I don't want Jesus's rule over my life. There are times in my life where I want to do things my way. I want to be the boss of my life. I want to be in charge. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm just telling you, Pilate, I have made those decisions where I have pushed away from God's plans. Matter of fact, there's an arrow here I want to show you, because the Bible calls when we push away from God's heart and God's plans, it's called sin. And it leads us to another circle that we don't want to find ourselves in, called brokenness. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and everyone has fallen short of God's design. Yet, in that reality, it's that place of brokenness oftentimes that we find the harder places of our lives. You see, brokenness can look like a struggling relationship. Brokenness can look like an addiction. Brokenness can end up like isolation and despair. Listen, in our brokenness is where we can feel shame. It's where we can feel pain. It's where we can feel separation and even emptiness. It's in that place of brokenness we sometimes discover that people have used us. It's in that place of brokenness we've discovered we also have used others. But there's something deep within us that says, I don't want to stay here in this place of brokenness. But Pilate, it's easy to get caught there. It's easy to get stuck there. And so what do? We know we need things to change, so what do? Those squiggly lines are the efforts that sometimes we put in to trying to fix ourselves. I can just fix myself. And oftentimes what we do to fix is we want to feel something different, so we lean into drug and alcohol so I can at least numb what I'm feeling in this place of brokenness. Or for some people, the solution is, I'll just find another relationship and that's going to help fix me. Or for some, it's like, I'm going to discipline my life. I'm going to commit my life. I'm going to work hard in my life and I'm going to fix myself. And we keep striving. We keep working and we keep pushing. And some people go, I need to go to church, or I need to turn to religion, and I'm going to use that and I'm going to fix myself, until we come to a place realizing, Pilate, can't fix myself. I need someone outside of me to fix me. Pilate, that's why I'm here today in these few minutes that I have with you, is because I've watched you in this wrestling match all weekend long. You can hide behind your power. You can make excuses. You can try to pass responsibility to other people. But I'm here to tell you, Pilate, listen, there is another way. And it's a way that leads us to this third circle. Come on, Post Malone circles. Here we go. We're going to go to the third circle. It's called the gospel, right? And the gospel, we say in the Bible, is good news. And the good news is that God has made a way to address our brokenness. I want you to see this. The good news is that Jesus lived a perfect life, that Jesus died a death that we deserve because of our sin, and Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus died on a cross, and on that cross, God made a miracle. He took all the sins of humanity and he put it on top of Jesus on that cross. And at the same time, he took the right parts of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, and he gives it to everyone who believes in him. You see that arrow that gets us to the good news? It's repent and believe. It's admitting that I can't, Pilate. It's admitting that he can and he did and he will. And he's calling me to give him my life. He's calling me to repent, to trust and believe. Come on. The word repent means to change your mind. It means to change your direction. It means to head in a new direction where Jesus is the one who fixes our brokenness. The word believe is to trust that Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection is what makes you and I right. I mean, Jesus even said it himself in his sermon. He said, repent and believe. Repent and believe is his invitation to us. And it's when we repent and believe that this possibility to move back to God's design can happen. Come on, church, we get a do-over. Hey, Pilate, you can get a do-over, and you can get unlimited do-overs if you'll trust him. Listen, none of us are perfect, but if we believe in Jesus, if we repent and believe, you and I can begin to recover and pursue the very life that we ultimately crave and desire already. Listen, Jesus now is with us. Jesus now is walking with us, and he helps us to recover to the life that God wants ultimately for us. Come on, Pilate. Come on, Pilate. You're so close. You showed us in your conversation that you didn't want to do what you did. But here's the good news. You get a second chance. And I'm not going to pretend to you that if you repent and believe, all your earthly problems will disappear. Listen, when you repent and believe, it doesn't fix everything in your life, but it does forgive everything in your life. And that's exactly what God wants to do, Pilate, for you. But your truth is here, and your truth demands a choice, Pilate. So, Pilate, I want you to look at this napkin that I drew these three circles for you on, and I want you to look at this for a minute here. Pilate, where would you see yourself in these three circles? Are you living God's plans right now? Are you living in a place of brokenness right now? Yeah, Pilate, I get brokenness too. I understand that too. But here's the good news, Pilate. You have a choice. Could I ask you one more question, Pilate, before I leave? What would keep you, Pilate, from repenting and believing? What pressure would get in the way of you repenting and believing, Pilate? Now, again, that's fictional, right? It's a fictional conversation. That didn't happen. Matter of fact, I tried to look with even in Josephus to see if we know anything about Pilate's future life and story. We don't know what happened to his faith. If he, on that resurrection morning, said, I got it wrong and I need to get right. Listen, we don't fully know. There's some rumors about what may have happened. There is a rumor that maybe he did decide to believe. There's another rumor he was so miserable he committed suicide. We don't know how it all worked out. Listen, we don't even know about Barabbas, the guilty one that gets set free that day. We don't have any account that he turned and said to Jesus, Jesus, thank you for taking my place. We don't know that. That's all fiction. And again, I don't want to get lost in the sauce there, but what I do want to ask you today, what we don't know about Pilate, what we don't know about Barabbas, we could know about you. We could know about me. What do we do with Easter this year? Listen, I get the pressure. We just all been walking in it. We've been feeling the pressure, but can I tell you, there's a greater move than fear. It's called love. Love is greater than fear. Come on. Love is greater than fear. And out of love, God and Jesus also had a choice in the Easter story. Now, remind me again, because I've already preached a long sermon today. Who did the crowd choose to set free on that day? Barabbas. If God gets a choice that day, which I believe he did, who did God choose? God chose Barabbas too. He chose to set the guilty one free, and he chose to send his innocent son to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God chose Barabbas just like the crowd. Did you ever catch that? Did you catch that part? Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it said that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. God chose Barabbas. Hold up. That kind of messes with us a little bit, doesn't it? It's like, if I was in that crowd that day, I would have set Jesus free. Would you have? Or would you have let fear rule and reign in your heart that day, just like the rest of the crowd? But guess what? Good news. Jesus had a choice too. Guess what Jesus chose on that day? He chose to set Barabbas free too, didn't he? Come on, John 15, verse 13. Jesus said, no greater love than this, than he who would lay down his life for his friend. That's the news of Jesus. That's the choice of Jesus. Jesus had a choice. It gets even better. Check this out in John 10. It says this. It says, the reason the Father loves me is that I laid down my own life only to take it up again. But no one takes it from me. Jesus said, I lay it down on my own accord. Praise God. Jesus had a choice, and he chose to set Barabbas free, and he chose to be the substitute to take Barabbas's place. You know what that means? He's also willing to take your place and my place too. That is the Easter story. Is that not powerful when we see it in the realm of choice? Come on, we're about to walk out of here. I don't want to have a conversation with Pilate. I want to have a conversation with each and every one of you. Some of you today are Christians, but I believe there's at least one person with us today that's not a believer, maybe even online. I want to put this up again to show you these circles and ask you the question, where do you see yourself today? Are you living by God's plans, God's design, God's word, God's authority, God's power, or are you choosing to do it your own way? Are you still trying to fix yourself? Are you experiencing the good news of grace and mercy that comes through the gospel? Where do you see yourself here today? Because just maybe today, there's some believers this last year that made some choices where, you know, God, yeah, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe Jesus came to the earth. I believe that's the way I was saved, and you're a Christian. But you said, but you know what? I kind of want to do this my own way right now, God. I kind of want to do things where I'm the boss, where I get to decide about my body, about my life, about my morality, about my decisions. I'm going to do this for me right now, God. And as you've made those choices, maybe you're sitting now or lying now in the reality of those choices. How about we trust God's plans, God's purposes, God's ways over our own? But maybe today, as you look at this diagram, you would admit that right now there's some brokenness in your life. Then I would ask you the same question I asked Pilate. What would keep you from repenting and believing today, this Easter? You see, you get to have a choice. You get to have a choice. Now, before we get lost, one more time, I want to give you one more word. I love this part. John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, oh, no. You didn't choose me. I chose you. This is so good. Listen, when you and I began to see that we've been chosen by amazing grace and love, that God's choosing. Listen, you think you're here accidentally today? No way. No way you're watching this service today by accident. Listen, God is trying to show you He chose you. Now, because of that decision, can that help motivate you to choose Him back? Are you ready to repent and believe? Come on, bow your heads and your hearts, even online, bow your heads and your hearts with me. Father God, thank You for what You have spoken over the house this morning. There is something stronger happening right here in this moment than I have felt all weekend long. And so Father, right now in faith, I wanna pray for what You're doing right now in a very personal way in the hearts of believers. You're calling them home. You're calling them to repent and come home, to begin to live again underneath Your design, to recover that way back to You. But God, I am so convinced, even at this early morning worship service, somebody here has been battling with You and they have been resisting faith because they don't have every question answered. And like Pilate, maybe they're living under the pressure of it all. But God, can they surrender that today to trust and believe, repent and believe today? Come on, is that you? Is that you? Then right here, would you join me with prayer? Wherever you're watching from, just quietly pray these words to God. That's what prayer is. Say, God, I know I am a sinner and I know I am broken. Please forgive my sins and make me whole. I believe Jesus died on a cross and He rose from the dead. And I am asking Him to come into my life right now. I'm asking Him to help me to recover so I can pursue Your plans, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, with your head bowed, eyes still closed, online, look up at me. If you just said yes, if you just trusted and believed, would you let your online host know? We want to send you a Bible to celebrate this moment today. Listen, if you're here with me at Stafford Campus, I want to celebrate with you too, and I'm going to ask you to do something bold and courageous. I'm going to count to three, and if you just prayed and believed, if you just trusted Jesus, I want you to show me by putting your hand above your head and hold it high up there. I'm going to give you a card. The prayer team is going to give you a card to say, welcome to the family, and then we want to give you a Bible when the service ends. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. Come on, be bold today. God did something great in your life today. We want to celebrate with you today. Who are you? Come on, one, two, three, right now, hand up. That was me, Pastor. Praise God, that was me. Praise God, that was me. Praise God. Anybody else online? Come on, don't be afraid of what God's just done right here today. At the end of this service, we want to give you a copy of God's truth, God's word. Father, thank You for speaking to Your house today. We love You. May we live this day, this week, this month, this next year under the banner of Your love and truth. May we walk with You, Jesus. In Your name we pray and believe. Come on. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's